Today, Defense Secretary Ash Carter is visiting a U.S. aircraft carrier sailing through the disputed South China Sea. Carter is there as American and Philippine ships are conducting joint patrols of the contested waters, where China is building islands and sending in military equipment. Secretary Carter was at a press conference in Manila yesterday.
Countries across the Asia-Pacific are voicing concern with China's land reclamation, which stands out in size and scope, as well as its militarization in the South China Sea.
Gary Locke is the former ambassador to China and the former Democratic governor of Washington State. We caught up with him yesterday, and I started by asking Ambassador Locke what kind of risk he sees for a military conflict in the South China Sea.
I think everybody wants to avoid any type of military conflict, and that's why I think people need to basically stand down and focus on diplomacy. With more activity in that area, the chances are increased of a collision, let's say, between a fishing vessel and some naval vessel, and that could prompt a conflict. And those are the things that have to be avoided.
It seems like China knows that the United States doesn't want to get involved in a military conflict in the South China Sea. Some of President Obama's critics have said that he has been too distracted by what's going on in the Middle East over the last couple of years to respond appropriately. Do you think that China is taking advantage of the United States' lack of interest in getting involved militarily?
Well, there is no lack of interest by the United States government in what is happening in the South China Sea. We're very much engaged in the Asia-Pacific region. That's part of the president's rebalance strategy, recognizing that for the last many years preceding his administration, there has been such a preoccupation with the Middle East. And as our forces withdraw from the Middle East, we need to resume our attention and increase our attention to the Asia-Pacific region.
But is what we're doing there enough of a deterrent? Because China doesn't seem to be slowing down.
Well, there are many efforts underway, and of course, the World Court will be deciding a case soon about the claims of China. This is a case brought on by the Philippines, and it could go against China. So we're just going to have to wait and see. But again, there's been a lot of diplomatic efforts and stern messages, frank messages from the United States to the Chinese government and to President Xi himself, by President Obama and others, that their activities are risking confrontation.
Okay, let's talk about the Panama Papers. You can't even search for the phrase on the internet in China. Several high-ranking party officials have family members who have surfaced in the Panama Papers, including President Xi's brother-in-law. How much pressure do the Panama Papers put on him?
Well, President Xi is embarking on a very concerted campaign to root out corruption within China. The Chinese government officials feel that the pervasive corruption is a direct threat to the legitimacy, the authority of the Communist Party. And so, obviously, their objective is to maintain their control and rule over the country. What's interesting is that, it raises suspicions, concerns about just how pervasive corruption is and whether it extends to the some of the families of the top Chinese government leaders. But actually, a lot of this has already been detailed in New York Times article, Bloomberg reporting months, if not a year or so ago. So some of this, in terms of the business dealings and the assets, the large assets held by families of top Chinese government officials, is nothing new.
But what does it say about the corruption campaign if you can't even search for this term on the internet? I mean, it seems like, maybe the president isn't as serious as he says he is about rooting out corruption.
Oh, no, they're rooting out corruption, and they're going after thousands and thousands of people in the military, even very, very high-ranking government officials. But the Chinese government is very sensitive to exposés about the families of these top Chinese government officials. And, the New York Times is basically not allowed to have online publications. There's no access to online to the New York Times within China. Bloomberg terminals have been blocked, et cetera, et cetera. And many things are not available over the internet within China, whether it's on human rights, whether it's on financial dealings, assets of top Chinese government families, to Tibet and Taiwan issues, and so forth. So in some ways, it's not much new. It's obviously embarrassing to the Chinese government, and the Chinese government has long exercised censorship of many of these topics and sensitive issues for the last several years.
Well, the issue of China has come up a lot in the United States presidential campaigns over the last couple of months. From your perspective, what is the number one issue that the next U.S. president faces with respect to China?
Well, there are many issues that the next president will face. There are continuation of issues that we have now with China, whether it's cybersecurity, lack of rule of law, lack of aggressive enforcement of intellectual property rights, human rights issues. But what's interesting is there's also a lot of partnership and collaboration. Our scientists are working very closely together on clean energy, on trying to find cures for cancer, to even working with China on putting pressure on North Korea to stop developing a nuclear weapon. So, of course, we have major differences, and that will confront the next president. But clearly, trade issues seem to be in the fore. The last thing we need is a trade war with any country because, we could slap tariffs on Chinese products coming to the United States.
Which Donald Trump has suggested.
Make them a lot more expensive to the American consumer, all the way from microwaves to clothes to toys and electronics. But Chinese can turn right around and slap tariffs on American products. America actually exports more from what we grow on our farms and what we process off of our farms to China than to any other country. And so if we engage in raising all the tariffs on all Chinese products coming in the United States, China will do the same.
Well, let me ask you then, because Donald Trump has called for very clearly a 45% tariff on Chinese exports to the United States. He has attacked China for its policy to devalue the Chinese currency against the dollar. What does a Trump presidency mean for the prospect of a trade war?
Well, if he follows through on his threat of 45% tariffs on all Chinese products, you're going to see similar moves by the Chinese against soybeans, corn, wheat, Boeing airplanes, everything that we sell to China, which supports millions of jobs in America, will suddenly go up in price, and the people of China will instead buy products made in Australia, made in Canada, made in Germany, made in Europe. They don't have to buy American stuff.
But a lot of people believe that the United States should come to China on the issue of trade from a much stronger position. They argue that trade policies have closed American factories, led to job losses, that sort of thing. Isn't there a point there that the United States should be more firm with China?
Well, we have been taking China to the WTO and to world tribunals on unfair trade policies and enforcing the trade agreements that we have. We've slapped a lot of tariffs on products coming in from China to the United States,
where solar panels,
where they've been subsidized, unfairly subsidized by the Chinese government, and so forth. But let's recognize that 95% of the world's consumers live outside the United States. And so if we want our economy to be strong, America needs to export.
It looks like the Chinese economy has stabilized in the first quarter of this year. Stocks are not fluctuating wildly. Exports were up in March. How do you see the health of the Chinese economy?
Well, the Chinese economy is still slowing down because of demand for Chinese goods, whether it's steel or consumer products, have been reduced because of the world economy. And that's of concern to the Chinese people. But China has been trying to move away from an economy based on low-cost, low-wage manufactured goods that are exported to more of a consumer-based domestic economy and also focusing on innovation instead of just building roads and bridges and borrowing a lot of money.
What does that mean for the United States economy?
Well, the more middle class that there are in China, the greater demand for American-made goods and services, whether it's medical devices, whether it's cosmetics, whether it's airplanes, to food, because people in China have very little confidence in the quality, the purity of the food that they eat. And they love things that are made in America or come from America because it stands for quality, it stands for purity. And so the rising middle class means more opportunities for American companies to sell their made-in-USA goods and services to China, which means jobs for the American people.
Ambassador Locke, thank you very much.
Thank you.